Hi, everybody. Welcome to our Saturday morning podcast. As always, RJ Bell in a couple of minutes, but first, my Blazing Five.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Five. Bears and Raiders.
I'm going to take Chicago, the favorite in London, -4.5. A better organization will travel well than a chaotic one if you have to go to Europe. By the way, I don't believe the Bears going to a backup is a true backup. Chase Daniel, to me, is as good as Mitch Trubisky. I don't think it's worth more than a half a point. The Bears' defense this year, second or third in every meaningful category. In fact, Khalil Mack has 17 sacks since the start of last year. The Raiders have 18 as a team. And yes, the Bears can be limited at quarterback, but they're tied for the NFL's best turnover differential, +6. So they got limitations at quarterback, but they don't make a lot of mistakes. I'll take the Bears to win and cover 29-23.
Cardinals at Bengals.
I'm going to take Arizona to win their first game, +3 with Kyler Murray. So with Cincinnati, I got their two dynamic perimeter players, A.J. Green and John Ross, out. I don't have a dynamic quarterback, so where do I get dynamic playmakers? Cincinnati can't do anything. They can't score. They can't rush. They're bad in the red zone. Arizona has issues, but Arizona's got a playmaker in Kyler Murray. A creative head coach, Larry Fitzgerald. I do feel like in a low-scoring game with two bad offensive lines, at least I have guys on Arizona's side that can make plays. By the way, Cincinnati's become a bad football team. 2-13 in their last 15 games. Cincinnati's awful. And I don't think there's a lot of hope in that locker room. I think Arizona's got all sorts of hope. I'm going to take the Cardinals with the upset, +3, 26-24.
Bucks at Saints.
Oh, Tampa Bay is so amazing. No, they're not. They're a losing franchise that had a good Sunday. The Saints are a winning franchise for 15 years. I'm going to take the Saints -3 at home. The bottom line in betting, take the team who you think is going to win the game, right? Like, generally, don't worry about points. I think New Orleans is a better football team. So New Orleans and Tampa, the line is 3. Are you telling me the only difference is the Superdome? That you think these teams are even? Because that's what a 3-point spread says. These are even teams, and New Orleans' only advantage is playing at home. Nonsense. But they are playing at home where they're 15-2 the last 2 years. And outside of a bad officiating call, they could be 16-1 the last 2 years. And since the start of last season, Tampa Bay has allowed 30 points 11 times. Most in the NFL. I think New Orleans gets off on some points this weekend after being, you know, they kind of had to pick and choose getting their points against a good Dallas D. New Orleans wins. They're the better team here. The line should be bigger. I'm betting a number. New Orleans 30, Tampa Bay 23.
Vikings at Giants.
I'm taking another favorite. I'm going to take Minnesota -4.5. So this week I wrote down the 10 best players in this game at home on a piece of paper. Vikings had 9 of them. This is a personnel mismatch. Minnesota was embarrassed last week. Good rosters and good coaches that are embarrassed bounce back. And by the way, Kirk Cousins, last 2 years following a loss, is actually pretty good. He's not good in prime time, but the week after he loses in prime time, 12 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. The Giants haven't won 3 straight games in 3 years. This is a talent mismatch. Now, I don't think Kirk Cousins is great, but I think he's as good as a rookie quarterback. And I also think, you know, it's a 1 o'clock start. It's not a primetime game. He can hide a little bit, and I'm gonna swallow the 4.5. Take Minnesota. 10 best players. I got 9 of them being Vikings. 30-23 Minnesota.
Packers at Cowboys.
I'm gonna take points here. This feels obvious to me. This feels like really obvious. I get a significantly better quarterback, and I get over a field goal. I'll take Green Bay +3.5. Listen, the Cowboys in the first 3 weeks were one offense, and then last week against New Orleans, they were a second offense. What are they? My guess is somewhere in between. The Packers' defense ranks top 3 in yards allowed, takeaways, they're 4th, 7th in scoring. And again, this is an Aaron Rodgers team, so they don't give it back to you. So they're not going to give Dak a short field and Zeke in that offensive line a short field. This is a Green Bay team that is upgraded defensively. They're very good in the first half. That could take the crowd out of it in Dallas. And I think it's a real urgent game for Green Bay. I think it feels like after being humiliated on a standalone Thursday night game, the whole world watched Green Bay at home get pushed around. I think their defense says, okay, fellas, come on. I think Green Bay is going to win this game outright. They're getting 3.5 points. I think they're going to win it outright, close, 27-26. Welcoming in RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas on Fox Sports Radio, 6 to 7 Eastern at RJ in Vegas. Of course, the founder, pregame.com. All right, here we go, my first one. Cardinals plus 3 at the Bengals. Cincinnati, A.J. Green, John Ross, two special athletes, both out. I see it as a low-scoring game. But I do think the Cardinals getting points with a playmaker at quarterback is the side here. What do the wise guys think?
Slight agreement. I got to be honest, Colin, this is probably the Colin Cowherd game of the century. And what I mean by that is, think about what Arizona represents. This is a team that said, oh, all these decades of rules about how you build a winning NFL team, nah, they're outdated. You got to be 6 foot tall, or let's say over 5'8", because I was at the Super Bowl last year on Radio Row standing next to Kyle Murray, and I'll be honest with you, I'm 5'10 and maybe a smidge, and I was towering over him. I mean, swear to God, this guy is five. Have you stood next to him?
Yeah, tiny.
I mean, he's not 5'10.
Would you agree? No. Yeah.
They've got him saying 5'11, I think, is what they say. So history says this is Doug Flutie. Well, where was Doug Flutie drafted? I think the 11th round. Not the first pick of the draft. Usually, the question is, can a Steve Spurrier, an elite college coach, go and win in the NFL? Now you have a coach that had like a 30% win rate in the Big 12 trying to. So Arizona's just thrown all the rules out the window. I'm not optimistic about it. Their assumption is things have changed, that there's been a revolution. Those old rules don't matter anymore. I think they still do to some degree. That said, my pessimism about Arizona in general, the reason I like him here, I think they're trying to win. I'm not sure if the Bengals are trying. I know they're trying every play, but is the organization worried about winning now, or are they more like Miami looking to rebuild?
Well, you also have a problem with Cincinnati. You have an unathletic quarterback behind a bad offensive line, missing their two pop wide receivers. They're going to make Arizona's defense look reasonably special. Whereas Arizona may have their issues, but I get Larry Fitzgerald, a playmaking quarterback. And oh, by the way, the running game for Arizona, their backs can catch. So I do feel with Arizona, I get points and I get a little bit of offensive special.
Now, well listen, first off, and I say this sincerely, your ability to break a game down was great years ago. It's gotten better and better. Now, what I do with my guys on our Straight Outta Vegas show, I'm very discerning. So let me ask you, when you say with a lot of confidence, well, you got a bad offensive line in the Bengals, so does that mean that you always fade the Bengals? Or what is it about this week? Because that's a given every week, right?
Well, I'm betting a number here. And what I'm saying is your offense, Arizona's offensive line is bad. But the reality is, so is the Jags. But Minshew can move, and they have Fournette. I'm not getting anything beyond a bad offensive line. There's no special on the perimeter. There's no special at quarterback. And you can crowd the box and take Mixon out.
So, you know, actually, to finish my side of this, you make a great point. If we assume you're coming into most or all games with a bad offensive line if you're Cincy. Now the question is, what can mitigate that? What can make up for it? And maybe playmakers on the outside, but since they have injuries there, that's a negative that usually isn't a negative, and it's a compounding effect. I think that's a great point. I also think I question their motivation, the Bengals. Agreement, Cardinal.
Okay, Buccaneers look great against the Rams. Now they travel back home and go to New Orleans to take on the Saints. This is strictly a numbers play. I get the Saints at home -3 against New Orleans. I think I don't trust Tampa. I don't trust Jameis Winston. I think they come down as an organization after one of their biggest wins in years. And I feel like New Orleans is used to winning, thinks they should win. All I have to do here is really, do the Saints win this game? Yes. I think they win this game. I think they have better personnel. I think they have a much better defense. This is an easy one for me. I'll take the Saints minus the 3.
I'm always apprehensive of the easy ones. I begrudgingly agree with you. If this was 3.5, I would disagree. Think about it. The Saints, when they're winning, because their home field adjusts based on if they're winning or not because of the crowd enthusiasm. When the Saints are winning, they have one of the three best home fields in football with Seattle, and we saw some of that last night, and with Green Bay. So to me, it's almost flabbergasting that this line is 3. It's implying that Tampa Bay's the better team, meaning with such a great home field, the default is 3.5.
That's right. So that basically the number is saying Tampa's slightly better, and I do not buy that.
This feels like it could be a flat spot for either team. I don't think it is for either. So let's start with New Orleans. I think the sense that Bridgewater, they've won some games maybe they didn't expect to with him as a replacement. I think that, if anything, propels them forward to say, let's keep this thing going. We thought we might have been out of it. We could, you know, who knows, win 3, 4, 5 straight in a row. On the other hand, Fezzik, our main NFL guy who's on most of our shows, pods, and stuff, he looks at this and says, oh, Tampa's off a road upset. Now they're on the road again. They're not going to be buttoned down. I disagree in the cases when that win is a young team that took a step forward. So think about it, Colin. You've been around a lot of different organizations, or at least interviewed people right after the games. When it's someone, an organization that's used to winning, when they have a big win, maybe there's a letdown the next game. But when an organization is reaching a new stratosphere, that usually energizes them, don't you think?
Oh, yes. And I think Tampa is a losing organization, and New Orleans in the last decade has been a winning organization.
No doubt. But I think the thing that keeps the Saints from being complacent here is Bridgewater. So to me, this is all about the number. I don't think Tampa's the better team, even with Bridgewater. Last comment on him, though. We have a quarterback ratings blend. We take 4 different sources. QBR, we take what 538 does, et cetera, et cetera. We got 4 sources. We blend them because if you look at these next to each other, it's insane that one says 30, this quarterback's like number 31 and the other one says number 9. Like at some point when you have disparate ideas like that, you got to average them out. Well, based on those averages, Bridgewater is 34 out of 42 quarterbacks. Not good at all. 20 plus yards downfield, ball traveling in the air. You have as many completions as Bridgewater. 0, only 2 attempts. Talk about dunking around, but it's working so far. The number's right, Saints minus 3.
I'll take the Vikings minus 5 against the Giants. I tend to take teams that were embarrassed the week before. Minnesota was embarrassed by Chicago. An unwatchable game. They put the big crew on for CBS, and it was a complete dud. Here's the other thing. I wrote down the 10 best players in this football game, Vikings-Giants. I believe 9 of the 10 best players with Saquon Barkley out are Minnesota Vikings.
Who's the exception?
An offensive lineman, a guard for the New York Giants, an offensive lineman. So I feel you have a complete mismatch in personnel, a team that was embarrassed, Minnesota. And I also think Kirk Cousins and that offense, again, humiliated, will face one of the weaker defenses. I really believe personnel-wise, the Giants are one of the worst 5 defenses in the league. I'm going to take the 5 here.
Okay, I'm confused. When you say take the 5, that's the Giants.
No, I'm gonna swallow the 5 with the Vikings.
Okay, because that's what I thought. I had an idea that you were taking the Giants. I was gonna say this is one of those duct tape shoe guys.
No, I'm on Minnesota here.
Okay, I actually think this is a sophisticated play that I agree with, and I would have disagreed on the Giants. Obviously, here's the thinking: is what have we learned about Kirk Cousins? And I heard Greg Kosal, I always listen to the segment on your show every week. I heard him talking about, well, Cousins is what we thought he was. And at the end of the year, I'm trying to be very sober like Greg. And at the end of the year, we'll probably see his stats are similar to what we expected.
Yeah.
But I think it goes beyond that. Our co-host on Straight Out of Vegas, he's out of LA, so he's kind of an announcer for the show. And he talks about, he does weekend stuff for Fox, and he has Brady Quinn on as his co-host. And he was saying that he's heard, and there's been a lot of talk, and this has been reported, that there's an element of routine. I don't want to call it OCD or ADHD or any. I don't want to diagnose. But where Cousins is very uncomfortable out of his routine. But when he's on his routine, he's very comfortable, right? There's certain people like that. And to me, when are these big games that we keep hearing about?
They're usually against better coaches, better defenses.
And
Kirk Cousins
different
has to...
Different times.
Yes.
And to me, it feels like, is it really the competition, or is it that this guy just feels out of sorts? And maybe it's the pressure. Maybe it's the different times. I don't know. But this feels like it's right in the pocket. It's a below average team they're playing, the Giants. They have the ability to run the ball, which you're going to be very comfortable doing. You got to wonder if they open up a little bit to assuage the wide receivers. And if they open up, I think that's an advantage for Minnesota, especially if Cousins is comfortable. I also think Jones, you can't be disappointed if you're a Giants fan with what he's done so far. But in these quarterback rankings that we did, he's 23. That's good, 23 out of 42 for a rookie, but it's not great. So this excitement that we got some great quarterback, no, you've got a quarterback that could be something with the Giants. And right now Minnesota is something, and they've got revenge on their minds for what being embarrassed. Agreement, Minnesota.
All right, 3-0 agreement. I'm going to take the Bears -5.5 against the Raiders. Now, I was big on the Raiders last week at Indianapolis because I questioned the Colts' defense. And I was right. Raiders got off to a big lead. They're very good on the script with Gruden, not as great in the second half. In this instance, there's two things I like about the Bears. Number one, even on the script, I think the Raiders will massively struggle to move the ball. So they're not a good second half offense. I don't think they'll be too good in the first half. And also, Chase Daniel was under Matt Nagy in Kansas City, knows as much or more of the playbook than Trubisky does. So I don't think the gap with Trubisky and Daniel is at most more than a half a point. I think I get a much better roster, a much more focused team, a team that thinks they can play for the NFC Championship. And I have a chaotic organization in the Raiders. Now you're asking them to fly over to Europe and play? I'm going to take the Bears -5.5.
Love it. Best pick of the week for me. Let me ask you a question. What is the best unit, so offense or defense, in the NFC?
I would
put the Bears defense up against anyone. So does any, like, who would be next? Bears defense and?
Oh, I would say Bears defense and Dallas's offensive line.
Well, but that's not a unit, right? Or one side of the ball. Let's say, how
do
you
want to say Bears defense is the best side of the ball.
Yep.
In the NFC.
And to me, when you don't have a real complete team in the NFC, you know, Mike Lombardi, friend of our show, I know he's been on with you. I respect his NFL a ton. He said he thinks the Bears should be the favorite to win the NFC. And I'm not so sure after seeing the Rams struggle that he's not right.
Right.
And so to me, this is a really good team. And you said it. I hate that you kind of stole my thunder. I think Chase Daniel is better than Trubisky.
I think it's very possible he is. I really do.
And his performance was outstanding. If you just look at the stats last week, and keep in mind, the whole playbook. Nagy, as a brilliant offensive mind, is someone that doesn't want to be limited, right? He wants it to be like a video game. Well, Trubisky, by definition, is limited. Let's give Nagy some credit. He played within those limitations. They always talk about, or he called games within the limitations. They always talk about how Belichick is a genius because you don't have to run his offense. He'll build the offense around his players. To me, the coaches that force you to play the coach's way, they are not flexible. And those are the coaches that tend to do well in certain years and horribly in others. It's all about the personnel. Nagy, it seems, adjusted for Trubisky, but now we can open up a little bit. On the flip side, and I heard you talking, again, I listen every day, I heard you talking about, hey, let's give Gruden some credit. I agree with you. I think expectations got so low because of those analytics comments. I think the intelligentsia, and I'll say that in quotes because they're not all that smart when it comes to sports, usually are so simple-minded about, oh, analytics good, old school bad. It's like, do you really think Gruden's too dumb to understand analytics and you get it?
Right.
Come on. But he isn't one to obsess over it. And to me, the expectations went in the toilet, except he's a decent coach. Maybe he's an average coach. Doesn't mean he's great, but he's not bad. But he is bad at one thing. Final point. Travel. He's not a detail guy. He's not, look, at least at the NFL head coaching level, he's not, like a Belichick is. So check it out. On the road, even after that win against Indy, 2-8 straight up.
Yep.
3-7 against the spread. Well, what is London? London is a super road game. And there's so much more details. And he went from Oakland to Indy straight to London. So they're going to be there almost 7 days. Do you know what the bookie is now the best way? You come in as late as possible. Who does that? Jacksonville, who does it every year. And the genius, the true genius, Belichick, they played twice in London, Colin. Last thing here, 2009-2012. They did a red eye the night before the game. Both times he says, let's get in and let's get out. They won 35-7 the first time, 45-7 the second time. That's the way to do it. Oh, by the way, that's what the Bears are doing. Not the night before, but coming in late. Love the Bears.
Finally, 4-0 agreement. Rarely had a 5-0. I'll take the Packers plus 3.5 against the Cowboys. When teams that have real talent like the Packers and their defense are embarrassed on the only game on TV, a Thursday night game, they're going to come with anger. On that Thursday night game, the defense was gashed by Philadelphia. It was a humiliating output by Green Bay's defense. Dak has gotten worse in four straight games. I think the Green Bay defense is actually as talented as the Saints defense, which shut him down. I also like the number. Aaron Rodgers, big edge, 3.5. I'm taking Green Bay in the points. Wise guys?
You know what's funny? I disagree with everything you said, but I got to agree on it because it is the sharp side. This is clearly the sharp side. You can see the money move. But let's break down some of the stuff you said. First off, can we agree before you just stop saying it and we forget that you said it, that this talk about Green Bay's defense is utter BS? What do we know about this defense? We know they stunk last year. We also know that there's some draft choices you tended to like.
Yes.
But who knows what they turn out to be? And we know the Smith brothers or kind of fake brothers, whatever you want to call it, were big signings.
Yeah.
But what the heck have they done? Against the Bears and Trubisky in week one? That was the thing that got it in everyone's mind, how good the D is. What else have they done?
Well, I think if you watch them play, I think they're more athletic. I do think Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith are really good players. I think they've upgraded massively their back seven.
Yeah, but the question is, are they, like right now, 1-32, where's Green Bay's defense?
15.
Okay, so they're an average D. All right, I'll accept that. That's fair. So now the question is,
let me say again. 11.
Oh. All right. And now we're starting to get where I might dispute it. But even at 11, I mean, I heard people saying, as smart as Bill Barnwell at ESPN, saying that are the Packers, you know, the third best D after the Bears in New England? I mean, that was early. And it's like, really? I don't get it yet. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I'm just saying I like to see proof, right? It's tough for me. Here's what I know. All when there's draft choices, right? We all come on our shows after and we're saying, I like this pick. I don't like this pick. Well, let's realize these are organizations that spend millions of dollars of time and energy to try to decide who they're going to draft. The fact that we're going to sit from a distance and critique it, I'm always skeptical that we know better than the teams know who they need as draft choices. So I get, oh, I like that pick. I'm a Steelers fan. Oh, I like that pick from the, you know, to get DeCastro or whatever. I just think we got to always know when it's a gut feeling versus we're going to make bet, you know, again, with money at stake. My next question is, do we really feel like Green Bay got outplayed last week? Because if you look at it, Green Bay dominated the stats against Philly. Philly just had a gutsy win. Do you feel like the Green Bay was embarrassed?
I think to go into Lambeau in a Thursday night solo game and run the ball anytime you wanted to. I mean, it was really, Philadelphia just said, we're just going to run the ball whenever we want to. Also, Philadelphia was missing their entire secondary.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And still, kind of at the end of the game, you felt like, wow, they physically manhandled them. I thought it was a really ugly, you know, there's different ways to lose. Like
yeah.
Last night, you know, Thursday night, the Rams lose, but you're like, that's a valiant effort. I feel pretty good about that. I didn't feel good about Green Bay. I thought those guys the next day at film were like, we got pushed around.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great distinction. I don't think anyone watching the game as a fan is saying, oh, my God. But I think that considering that it was a short week, Green Bay has a great home field, Philly was banged up. I felt like it was a gutsy win by Philly. These are the kind of wins that when they win a Super Bowl, they won't remember, you know, fans won't remember, but if they had lost this game, maybe they don't even make the playoffs, Philly. So I agree with that. So to wrap up, you know, I got to ask you one last thing, and then I'm not even going to wrap up. Where's Aaron Rodgers for you 1-32 as a starting quarterback?
Well, he doesn't win enough. You know, it's like his last 3 years, he's 13-13-1. You know, that's Marcus Mariota territory, and we all love him. So I think he's a fantastic talent, but my knock on Aaron is win more, please.
But is he top five?
Yeah, it's a talent. But Johnny Depp's talented, too. I don't watch his movies.
Oh, Donnie Brasco.
But you got to give me more than Donnie Brasco. You got to give me more than one Super Bowl. So Aaron doesn't win enough, but I do think in this game it's a quarterback mismatch.
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing is the stats, at least so far, say otherwise, which brings up the last point, strength of schedule with Dallas. If you believe that's why they played so well, you got to like Green Bay here. If you think Dallas is as good as they seem, then Green Bay's not as attractive. I think that Saints loss was a bad loss, to be honest, with Bridgewater. So I'm agreement, Green Bay.
Finally, bonus pick we only give away on Saturday. I would take the Browns in 3.5 and 4, whatever the line is. San Francisco's a very young team. I think their wins have been a little overstated. They are better defensively, but a lot of turnovers. And I think Cleveland's defensive front, Nick Chubb's running game, I think they found a formula. I would take the points here.
Boy, did you save this one for last for the right reasons. Total disagreement here. I love San Francisco. First question you got to ask yourself, how motivated is the Browns? Now, we know it's Monday night. They want to play. I would make the following case. This is the least energy, the least prioritized game Cleveland has had yet this year. Opening game. Obviously very motivated, very like, oh, here we go, guys, finally. Then Monday Night Football, the first one. I know it was against the Jets, but still the first time they're on in memory. Then Sunday night at home against the Rams, and then division against Baltimore, a borderline must win. Now out of conference across the country. On the other hand, San Francisco, this is a team 3-0 off a bye, and the best of all, if you like the 49ers, they won a game maybe they shouldn't have against Pittsburgh. So you not only have momentum, you have the coach saying, Shanahan saying, hey, guys, we can't take it easy. We got to get better. We barely won that game. Best of both worlds. Finally, and if you look at the game against Pittsburgh, San Francisco had 15 more first downs and 200 more yards. Let's just do finally what we did with some of these other games. Let's just look at the line. 3.5 implies San Fran's a little bit better. Well, Football Outsiders say number 4, San Fran, of all the teams, Browns number 18. So if you got 4 against 18, 4's home, the line should be more than 3.5. You add in the Browns are banged up on defense. Hate the Browns, like San Francisco.
All right, RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, Fox Sports Radio, 6 to 7 Eastern. Also, at RJ in Vegas, pregame.com, college or pro. They have some of the smartest analysis on the market. Thanks, RJ.
Thank you.